We're going to finish this series on rest. It's a two-part message, and I saw the list that were coming up, but we talked about rest and how it benefits not just us, but God as well. And so I put these lists up on the screen last week, and you can go ahead and do that. We talked about the things that we get done or have to get done that are a priority in our lives. And then on the other side of the list, we talked about the things that maybe would give us rest. And a lot of times those lists don't overlap. You know, things like cleaning the garage or going to your kids' sporting events and laundry and dishes and cooking and cleaning and changing oil in your vehicle or haircuts, doctor's appointments. The list goes on and on and on, right? There's always something we have to be doing. And then there's the list that would be somewhat of a Sabbath for us or give us a rest or a break. And those are things like devotion and prayer, just reading a book or taking a walk or exercising, hobbies, movies, cooking, fishing, hiking, just silence for some of us, maybe listening to a podcast or the radio. There's all kinds of different things that we could do for rest, but a lot of times those don't necessarily blend very well because it is hard to make rest a priority in our culture. Our culture does not place importance on rest, right? We glorify busyness, and if your schedule isn't full, it feels like you're not taking advantage of your time or your life, the time that you've been given, and sometimes it feels like you're not working hard enough. And it's to the point where sometimes we'll even, if we're asked the question, how are you, or how are you guys doing, we'll say busy, right? And it's not good or bad, we're busy. And it's a problem. And rest, the theme for this two-part message is that rest is a gift from God for His glory and for our benefit. And last week, we talked about rest or the Sabbath being for God's glory. So if you missed it, we just talked about these three ways that rest glorifies God, and they're not going to be on your screen. I'm just going to recap it real quick. But the first one was that observing the Sabbath draws our attention back to God. Observing the Sabbath draws our attention back to God, and we talked about how that's for us individually, and then for us as, well, in the scripture it was Israel, but for the people of God, Christians, people who are supposed to be taking Sabbath, and then it draws attention to the outside, or it draws the outside world's attention to God as well. And we use Chick-fil-A as that example, right? Everybody in America knows that Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays, and they all know why. Whether they're a Christian or not, they know that Chick-fil-A is not open because they're practicing Sabbath. It draws attention back to God. The second thing that we talked about is that the Sabbath is vital to our faith. Taking a rest, taking a break is vital to our faith. We need the Sabbath to not just focus, but to encourage our faith. Taking a Sabbath focuses and encourages our faith. And we need the Sabbath to remind us of the presence of God in our lives. Remember, we talked about the presence of God, and there was this passage that talked about those who didn't observe the Sabbath would be put to death, and we thought that's really, really harsh, right? But for them, the Sabbath was the presence of God, going to the temple or the tent or the tabernacle, wherever the Ark of the Covenant was at that point, where God was residing in spirit. And so the Sabbath for us, we need the Sabbath to remind us that God's presence is within our lives. We don't have to go to a church to be able to experience God. We don't have to go find, you know, a priest and have them pray on our behalf. We get to experience the presence of God in our lives, but the busyness draws us away from that. So it reminds us that God's presence is in our lives all the time. And then the third thing was that Sabbath isn't about obligation. It's about desiring God. Sabbath isn't about obligation. It's not, oh, I have to do this. I have to take Sabbath. I have to read my Bible. I have to have a prayer life. It's when the Sabbath is about remembering who God is, our desire to be with Him grows deeper and deeper. And so that's what we talked about last week. the Sabbath being for God's glory. This week, we're talking about the second part of this statement, the Sabbath is for our benefit. So practicing a rest or a Sabbath day has a lot of benefits. And I found an article called The 7 Benefits of Practicing Sabbath, and they claim 7 benefits over 2 different areas. And the first area they claim is mental and physical health, and they brought up these 4 benefits in that sort of rest. And the first one is that it shows us that we're more worth more than what we produce. Isn't that great? We're worth more than what we produce. So if you're really good at producing manufacturing things or building things or making things, or maybe you're really good at selling stuff and producing revenue or whatever line of work you're in, it shows us that our value is not placed in that, right? We can set that aside, this thing that, I mean, it's hard not to put your value in your work, right? You guys feel that? Oh, come on. There's got to be more of you than that. Yes, right? Or you're just so burnt out on it that you have to, that's all you can muster. We work so much, right? We put so much time into our work and so much energy and effort that it's hard not to place our value in what we do for a living and how we get money for our family and how we contribute to society in that way. But the Sabbath shows us that we're more than what we do or what we produce. The second thing in this mental and physical realm of health, it shows us we don't have to be enslaved by the world's expectations. We don't have to be enslaved by what society sets up as far as our work schedule or us the rat race 24/7. We don't have to be enslaved by that. It shows us that it's okay to take a break every now and then. Another thing it does is it gives us time to assess and refocus and be present in the world that God created. Sorry, Josh, these aren't on the screen either. You can just go back to that title slide. It gives us time to assess and refocus and be present in the world that God created. Isn't that nice to have permission to do that? You just can be present in God's creation. That's peaceful, right? That gives me a good feeling that I don't have to be on or something or something to someone or for anything. I can just be present in the world that God created. The last thing in that mental, physical health realm is that it strengthens our relationships and our communities. Sabbath strengthens our relationships and our communities. That's a weird way to look at Sabbath, but if you think about it, if all you can think about is work or getting things done or doing, things, it's really hard to build relationships. I mean, you get 15 minutes at the water cooler or whatever, but you're not building meaningful relationships if all you're thinking about is producing. And building relationships builds community, right? It's a funny way to think about it, but that's ultimately what God is calling us to do, is build relationships and community. And we can't do that without Sabbath. It strengthens those relationships and community. And then the next 3 benefits they brought up were in the area of spiritual health as well. So you have, that was the mental, physical. The next thing this article talked about was 3 spiritual benefits as well. And the first one was a refreshed mind for reflection, contemplation, and connection with God. A refreshed mind for reflection, contemplation, and connection with God. I don't know about you, but your job or the things that you have to get accomplished during the week probably leave your mind going in a lot of directions. I thought you were going to say amen, so I took a drink of water, but you guys left me hanging. Your mind probably is running several different directions at the end of the day, right? Yeah, it's not, Sabbath allows us a refreshed mind so we can actually reflect and contemplate and connect with God. If we're going into Sunday or whatever day we're taking a Sabbath or even an hour in a day that we're going to take a break, if we're going into that with this craziness in our heads, we're not going to be able to connect or contemplate or reflect on what God has done for us. The next one is that it gives us a more active prayer life, and that's kind of a no-brainer. If we're setting aside time for Sabbath and for taking a break, of course we're going to have more time to pray and have this relationship with our Creator. And then the last thing was that it's a perfect time for devotion or Bible study. It's a perfect time to get in the Word of God. So those are the mental, physical, and spiritual benefits of Sabbath. And so in that same mindset, I want you to think about a time when you worked the hardest you have ever worked. Just think about it. Maybe you were a kid. Maybe it was baling hay for a summer, or maybe it was working on a roofing crew in the summer. Here, it's usually in the summer, right? Because the rest of the time, it's kind of pleasant to work outside because you're not dying from the humidity. But summertime, it's awful, right? If you have to work outside. In thinking through that question myself, probably, anybody just have to dig a hole every now and then? Yeah. That's the worst, right? That is not fun, especially a post hole without augers. That's just the old-fashioned, you just throw them in the ground and pull them out and pull it up, and the deeper the hole goes, the less you can pull them, and what an awful job, right? Thank God for powered augers. They are worth their weight in gold. Another time I can think of working very hard is two-a-days. Anybody play football in high school? Yeah. Did you have two-a-days at that point? So to start, if you don't know what that is, to start every fall, or to start the school year, your football coach would have you not do one practice, but two. So 2 weeks leading up before school started, you would practice in the morning and then in the afternoon. And of course, you're not in shape, right? And so immediately they called them gassers, but it's essentially you do sprints back and forth across the field, and, you know, everybody's just blowing chunks for the first couple weeks. You know, it's just laying down on the sideline, just losing your whatever you ate before practice. It's awful, right? It's hard work, and of course, it's in August, so it's very hot. Another time that I can think of in my life where we worked tirelessly is we were on a mission trip to the Bahamas in high school, and we had gone to this orphanage, and this orphanage was this place that kids were staying, obviously, but they didn't have a director to stay there overnight. They had no, like, room. It was all kind of bunk houses, and they were gating these children in overnight and just kind of leaving them there. And whatever happened when they got back. And it was a very scary scenario. And so we were able to remodel this room for a director to live there on site for these kids. And the room was currently being inhabited by all kinds of lizards and pigeons and all sorts of things. And as you can imagine, in the summer in the Bahamas, it is hot, very, very hot. That kind of environment was very stinky, very sweaty. It was rough. It was so rewarding, but it was probably one of the hardest times I've ever worked. And so no matter how hard, and, you know, I'm sure you guys have all these stories, and some of you work very hard like that day to day, which the rest of us are very grateful for, but no matter how hard you've worked, nothing compares to how hard God worked in creation. Right? You can build or make or do anything you want, but none of us have ever created, you know, anything from nothing. In Genesis 1, and we'll read Genesis 2 here in a minute, but we see this image of God getting to work in creation, and he gets to work, and he creates the universe, and he creates our earth, and he creates every plant and animal, and then he creates sea creatures and birds, and he creates day and night, and the sun and the moon and stars, and then he creates humans, and he creates Adam and Eve, and creates us, and lots of creating, and it's awe-inspiring and ingenious and powerful, and it's beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. And it's a lot of work. I can't imagine just creating everything out of nothing. And then we get to this in Genesis 2, and it'll be on your screen. It says, it's verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." On the seventh day, he rested from all of that hard work that we can't even comprehend. So God has done the incredible work of creating everything we know. Like everything we can see, have ever seen, will ever see, God has done this hard work of creating that. He does all of this in these 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rests from his work, or he ceases work. If you remember last week, that is what Sabbath means, to stop working. And so we're going to talk about three truths in the Sabbath today, but it's about being for our benefit. So three truths about the Sabbath being for our benefit. The first one is that rest is not laziness. Rest is not laziness. It's easy to view rest as laziness in our culture, right? I think we are set up that way. It's easy to think, if I'm not doing something, I'm being lazy. Have you ever felt that way? Okay, good. It's not just me. It's a easy trap to fall into. Let me reiterate what we just read. God was not lazy on the seventh day, right? Yeah, of course not. He had worked for 6 days and was now taking 1 day of rest. We need to understand the difference between the two, between laziness and rest. Because God encourages rest, but he speaks against laziness. There's lots of places in the book of Proverbs that talk against laziness. We could probably find several verses, enough to fill the rest of the time. God calls us to work, and he expects us to work diligently at what we do, but just as importantly, he calls us to rest. So this Sabbath rest that we're talking about is necessary to accomplish what God is calling you to do. Sabbath rest is necessary to accomplish what God is calling you to do. In other words, you could have realized this incredible call on your life, and maybe you have, and if you have, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. If you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what God wants me to do with my life, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with everything I have. So you've got this incredible call and mission, and God's given you that clearly. But if you aren't willing to rest, you won't accomplish the mission. And we know that because God is calling us to rest in that. This is an example set by God. So if we're looking at rest as a gift from God, right, for his glory and for our benefit, unfortunately, sometimes gifts get taken advantage of. Sometimes people, have you ever given a gift to somebody and they took it a little too far, the whole give it an inch, take a mile kind of thing? Or they expect more gifts, right? Sometimes we do that as people. We take advantage of gifts, and we'll twist this idea of Sabbath rest, of rest in two different ways. Some people twist it and it becomes laziness, putting off responsibilities that we're called to, or doing half-hearted work, or valuing relaxation and comfort above all else. And I'm sure here today we have a room full of incredibly responsible people who've never struggled ever with laziness, right? That's what I thought. Of course, right? We all want to just be comfortable and put that above everything else, but that's not what God's calling us to, and that's not what Sabbath rest is. The other way that it gets twisted is by becoming workaholics. We think more work and busyness equals better or more productive. We think that if you have free time, you're doing something wrong. And people who feel bad when they just sit around and do nothing, or people who never have a spare minute to give themselves rest, God is not honored in that either. Does that make sense? Yeah. God is not honored by our laziness. He wants us to work and work diligently, but he is also not honored by people being workaholics and filling their schedules completely and giving no time back to God. Either way, the gift gets twisted. Whether you lean on the lazy side or the workaholic side, it's a corruption of a God-designed gift. Just like anything else in this world that God has created that we can corrupt, isn't it crazy that we can somehow corrupt rest? Man, we can really mess anything up. But doing one or the other is a corruption of a God-designed gift to us. The second thing that we're going to talk about is rest is a blessing to us. The second truth about this Sabbath rest is that it is a blessing to us. And picking up in verse 3, it says, "Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." He blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Did God need rest? Did he get physically or emotionally or mentally tired? No, of course he didn't. Right? And we read in Psalm 147:5 that God is all-powerful, and in Isaiah 40:28 it says that he doesn't grow tired or weary. So we know that God did not get physically or mentally or emotionally drained from creation. So why would he take a day of rest? Why does he bless the seventh day? Yeah, he did it for us, right? For his glory, but for our benefit. He knows that rest is necessary for us. God establishes this model from the very beginning of working 6 days a week and taking one day to rest and refresh, not because he needed it, but because we need it. So, the other interesting kind of point here is this is the first time, now I know Genesis 2 is pretty stinking early in the Bible, but this is the first time that God calls something holy. Isn't that interesting? He's talking about rest. It's the first time that God calls something holy. We talked about this a little bit last week, but when something is described as holy, it is only because God has placed his holiness upon it. It's holy when God sets it apart for his purpose. So he's setting apart or setting aside this day for us to rest. So if God designed you and he knows how you work, he knows how you work best in all aspects of your life, he designed you to need rest. He knows that our bodies will wear down, and they were built to work, but when they work, they're going to need rest. How many of you slept last night? At least a little bit, right? Yeah, because that's something we need to do. You do that a few nights in a row, and you start seeing spiders and stuff. It's crazy, right? We need rest. Have you given your body and your mind the rest that God has designed for you to have? Have you given your body and your mind the rest that God has designed for you to have? And you might say something like, "That all sounds great, but if I take time to rest, how am I going to accomplish the things on my list or the things that have to get done? And what if something gets forgotten or my to-do list is still full? My family and my job and my friends require all my time. How in the world can I take a day to rest and still get everything accomplished that needs to get done?" You ever felt that before? Say, most days, right? How in the world could I take a break, right? My break is that I get to go to bed. Or if I sit down, I'm going to fall asleep, and that'll be my break. Maybe you've been there. And I don't have a specific answer for you, but we do have a passage to look at. And here's what I can tell you is that Jesus had the same problem. And we see him in Luke 5:15-16. It says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." So number three that we're going to talk about, the last thing we're going to talk about today, is that we need to make rest a priority. We need to make rest a priority. Jesus constantly had people wanting his attention. I love that scripture goes there, because it's like, well, God rested and set that model for us, and then God became flesh and walked among us and then also set that model for us. Anybody have a group of people all the time just waiting to heal them and bring them back from the dead and perform miracles for me either, right? You're not that busy, you know? You don't have that much going on. Jesus constantly had people wanting his attention, and in this passage, he has crowds of people coming to see him. He knows that there's always work, right? Of course, Jesus is feeling the weight that there is always work to be done. He could always be doing something to make the world better. He can heal people, and he can teach them, and he can love them, and he can do all these things, but verse 16 tells us that Jesus often took time to withdraw to lonely places, took time to set that stuff aside and pray and reconnect with God and refresh his mind. Remember, Jesus was God, but he was also fully human. His body would tire, right? He needed sleep. Even in the midst of our stress, we need to make rest a priority. Even in the midst of our stress, we need to make rest a priority. And we will be able to handle, right, the rest of life, including the stress, so much better when we do. More stress on top of stress doesn't solve stress, right? Resting, setting things aside, diving back into our relationship with God, that is what will cure or relieve your stress. Piling more things on top of it won't. When we take time each week to cease from our work, when we daily, every day, allow our mind and body to relax and come into the presence of God for worship and allow the Spirit to find, to or allow us to find rest in the Holy Spirit, it makes our lives that much better. It's a blessing to us. And ultimately, that is where our strength's going to come from. Not from our accomplishments or how well we produce at our job or how great we're raising our kids or whatever the, you know, whatever we're trying to accomplish in this life. That's not where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from this renewal and this rest in God. So how can you do that? How can you rest as God intended you to rest? How do you make rest a priority? The first thing I would do is I would schedule it. Right? That's pretty easy. I know some of you, most of us probably not, but some of you live and die by a calendar. Your motto is, if it's not on the calendar, it's not happening. Any of you guys? I say, don't be shameful. Wear it proudly. The world is spinning because of you guys. The rest of us are, we would forget everything, right? It's not on the calendar, it's not happening. Well, schedule it. Put it on the calendar. Schedule time for you to rest until it becomes a habit, or just keep on putting it on the calendar. Maybe there's something you need, you know, maybe another thing is maybe you need to cut something out of your life. I think if we're honest, what we deem necessary, right, the lists at the beginning, what we deem necessary and what God deems necessary are often different. What we think is this has to get done right now. I mean, just back to the example of Jesus with all this crowds of people needing him. Let's just hold on a minute, pump the brakes, let's reset, we'll evaluate, and then we'll go back. What we think is necessary and what God thinks is necessary are two different things. We need to evaluate those things. And maybe there's something that you need to say no to in order to get the rest required of you. How many of you are really good at saying no? I know a couple of you are, because you do it to me often. But none of us, right? It's hard. It's hard to say no. It's hard to be that person that when someone wants something of you, to be like, nah, I can't do it. But sometimes you have to. That may mean disappointing people. But, again, think of how many people would have been disappointed to see Jesus leave the crowd and go off by himself. It's not this selfish thing. It's God-designed rest for us. So that may mean that you disappoint people when you say no. I know that's hard. It's a hard thing. Or maybe you need to be more serious about your sleep. What do you think? I told you guys I'm preaching to myself, right? I'm not. This isn't you. I said this is to me, and if any of this helps you guys, you're good. But maybe we need to be more serious about our sleep. If you know you don't get enough sleep and it drains you, that's a way that you could prioritize rest. For many people, one of the things that gets them rest is counseling or therapy. Maybe your mind needs rest, and sometimes you need a counselor to help you work through how to best get rest for your mind. Or maybe you just don't have anybody to talk to, and you just need to, you can't afford counseling, but you just could talk to somebody. All the stuff that's going on inside that's making you crazy and making your mind go in all these different directions, you just need to let it out. I don't know what it is specifically for you, but here's what I do know, is that God has designed you to rest. God has commanded you to rest, right? By penalty of death in the old covenant, not us. But God has seriously commanded us to rest. And he has given you rest as a gift for your entire life. So, just three questions to end on. How are you going to rest? How are you going to make rest a priority? And how are you going to take advantage of the blessing of rest that God has given to you? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we're so thankful for a chance to rest. We're thankful to do it on a holiday weekend for our nation. We're thankful for these freedoms that we enjoy, for all the people throughout these couple hundred years that have sacrificed on our behalf so that we could be free and that we could freely move about in this country. What a huge privilege it is to live here. We are so thankful for that. God, we know not everyone is that fortunate. And God, as we go into this holiday weekend or continue into this holiday weekend, that we would just find real rest in you. That we would take seriously this commandment, this gift that you've given us. That we would put aside what maybe feels super important to us, but truly isn't. God, you would help us to say no when we need to say no. That you would help us evaluate what needs to be cut out of our lives. God, we're just so thankful that you would give us this gift. Give us permission to not place our value in what we do or how productive we are, but in you. And not only that, but to take a day and just rest in that. Help us to be in your creation. Help us to be rejuvenated mentally and physically and spiritually every time we practice Sabbath. Whether that's weekly on Sunday or whether that's 15, 20, an hour every day that we can find. Help us to make it a priority. God, we just thank you so much for who you are, for your plan for our lives. And we thank you for setting it up so that we needed rest to accomplish your mission here on earth. So as we leave this place today, go with us. Help us to just glorify you in everything we say and do and think, and also in how we rest. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.